What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Bash Brothers Podcast. I'm your host, Connor Chandler. This over here is my co-host,
Jordan Harris.
And we're the Bash Brothers, the only podcast where it's like sitting back with your friends, talking sports, life, everything in between. Jordan, how you doing today, brother?
Doing wonderful, man. You are two for two in intros of the two new episodes.
Since we came back, yeah. Since we made the return.
I'm proud. You weren't two for two on your best day back in the day.
That's probably true. In all honesty, that's probably true, dude. We had a dollar for every intro we messed up back in the day when we were cutting our teeth in the podcast game. Now yeah. We're all old vets.
Yeah.
You're old.
You're older than I am.
But you're old.
You're 29.
You will be 29 on June 30th.
Yeah, hey, I'm proud of you. Come on. There you go.
Hey, I care about my people. I take care of them. I might text you to tell you happy birthday. We'll have to see.
Are you ready to do something as irresponsible as driving over the speed limit in the school zone?
That is so true. All right, welcome to the preseason prediction show for the 2023-2024 college football season. We are going to tell you who will have the best year, first year as a head coach, who will win the Heisman Trophy, both teams that will be going to each conference championship game, the winners of that game, your four playoff teams, and your national champion. And you can take it to the bank, whatever you're doing. If you're driving in your car, if you're sitting listening, if you're mowing the yard, I hope you have a way that you can take notes, because we are about to tell you locks.
Don't tell people to take notes while they're driving. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, a safe way. Store the notes mentally. All right, we got to do it. Blanket statement. This is one of the craziest things that college football analysts, I don't really consider myself a college football analyst, that we do is making predictions 100 days out for a game that is going to be played in next year that we haven't seen a single team play yet besides spring ball. Prior to contrary belief, we're not allowed to see what happens in practices. So,
we were not?
No, we're not. So, Jordan, what do you think, bro? You think you're going to – give a percentage of correctness that you will be over every answer we're about to give in the next 45 to an hour.
I'll give two. By this season, I'll either be 80% correct or about negative 4% correct.
Jeez.
And there's about no in-between.
I'm going 52%. Over 52% of everything I tell you will happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Caleb Williams is going to play football.
He is.
At least one snap.
At least one.
There you go.
USC will play in the Pac-12.
They good, dude. Come on. That percentage is going up. All right.
It's going up.
So let's go in order. First year head coaches.
Okay.
We got a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think there's 24, I think, is what was on the list.
Yeah.
First year head coach. And success is a word that is it's individualized to you. So explain what success means to you as you give your answer. Who has the best first season this year? I think we can go looking back. We could say Mel Tucker. Clearly Sonny Dykes last year. Last year was Lincoln's first year at USC, wasn't it? Yeah, he did get eclipsed by Sonny.
Yeah.
Sonny eclipse. That's the deep cut.
If you know what that means.
All right, tell us, who has the best first year head coach season this season?
So just to give an example of a few that would be in consideration here, obviously we have Hugh Freeze at Auburn first year, Luke Fickle at Wisconsin, Matt Rhule, a big pickup from Nebraska from the NFL, Scott Brom at Louisville.
Go Rams.
Yeah.
That's our NFL team.
I was about to say. And then Brent Key, obviously, at Georgia Tech. And then Deion at Colorado. That's just a few highlighted names. But, I mean, Kenny Dillingham, that's another one. Went from Oregon to Arizona State. I'm very high on Luke Fickle at Wisconsin. I think that he's poised to have a really good year. He did wonders for Cincinnati. I mean, wonders. And I think it just proved how much by the sheer number of transfers they had go out after he left. But let's be honest. Wisconsin is a team, I think, you know, we talked about last year. The Big Ten West is very, very weak. I mean, obviously the Big Ten is a one-headed monster. Like, it's the East, and it's about two or three teams in the East, and that's it.
True.
So, the fact that the Big Ten West got two super high-profile coaches to come in and coach two teams that are historically great. I mean, Nebraska was the team of, like, what, the 90s, the 80s?
Yeah.
And
there's a reason that Oklahoma game is so I mean, this pageantry of college football.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It really is.
So I think Luke Fickell, just even bringing the success he had at Cincinnati over to Wisconsin to a division that is just not
Cincinnati.
Been, yeah.
Throwback. But
a division that has not been great. I think for him, year one, I don't, let's be honest, the expectation for him, I don't think, is to win the Big Ten. Like, I don't think they expect you in year one to beat an Ohio State or Michigan or maybe even a Penn State. But if year one you could win your division and get back to the Big Ten championship, I think that for him is a huge success. We were looking at win projected win totals earlier. I think Wisconsin's at like an 8.5 or something like that. They have a very lofty projection for win total. So I think Wisconsin, if you could win your division and get back there to kind of assert yourself into some prominence again in the Big Ten, I think that for him would be a huge success. So I think he has a really good shot of being super successful year one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's more fun when we disagree, but we have more Bash Brothers camaraderie here. I completely agree. I think that's the right answer. He has just, I mean, they have a running back there that is just insane. I think that the ceiling for them, I'm with you, would be to win their division. A little bit of foreshadowing here. I don't know if that's going to happen. I do think the opposite side of that coin comes in the same division, Matt Rhule. I think him coming from North Carolina, you know, in the NFL to there. I also think, depending on your definition of success, obviously Wisconsin has had success recently.
Yeah.
They made it to the Big Ten title game the year before last year, correct?
I believe so.
And that's just, just pulling that. But if you are at Nebraska, I mean, if you can win 5-6 ball games, that's a success.
Yeah.
Coming off what Scott Frost did, sliding down the old rail, and you've seen that video, right?
Yeah.
What if that was an experiment that just did not work.
Yeah. Well, you know, too, in that same coin, when we talk about success, you know, in our last episode, we talked about we think Hugh Freeze will beat Nick Saban year one. Well, you know, if you were to be, from what Auburn did last year, if you were to be bowl eligible at least and beat Nick Saban to get
a
winning record.
That's a great year one.
And I mean, let's be honest too. Brian Kelly in year one beat Nick Saban and went to the SEC championship.
I agree. One of the coaches on this list I think will shock us. I think we'll sit here doing this next year and go, holy cow, you know, maybe Deion Sanders, like to your prediction, wins 8 ball games or somehow makes the Pac-12 title. That ain't going to happen. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, nobody had TCU winning and going to the Natty. That is for danger, which they didn't win. You know, they did not actually win their conference championship. But, yeah, I echo your sentiments. If I had to put money on who has the best one in terms of whatever your definition of success may be, I'm going to go with Mr. Fickell over at Wisconsin. All right, next thing I want to address. We saw a lot of movement in the transfer portal, as we are becoming accustomed to.
Yeah.
A lot of quarterbacks jumping around. We had this discussion as well over lunch earlier, so I'll let you say your – let me go first. I've been on this young man's train for a while.
Okay.
I've been cheerleading him, and he – honestly, I say he did well last year, and he backed up my prediction. I think – in terms of the quarterbacks who were at a team, transferred out, and will now be on a new team this year, and will have the best season, is DJ Uiagalelei. Goes to Oregon State.
Yeah.
He will be in a, let's be honest, he'll be in a conference that doesn't play near as much defense.
Correct.
Unless you're playing Utah, and then, oof, get ready, because you better strap in. He's in a system, I think, that works much better for him.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, he's not a pure passer like Clemson is used to. He's not a 5-step drop back, going drop dimes and air it out all over the field. You know, he's not that guy. He's a tank. He's a big fella. I think he's in much better shape this year. I think he goes to Oregon State in the Pac-12, and I think they are a dark horse. They will not get to the Pac-12 title game. There's no shot. But I think when all is said and done, he will have the best year as a transfer quarterback. Tell me I'm right.
No, I'm not going to say he had the best year. I will say as much, and we've talked about this before, as much as I hated on DJ last year, and I thought him getting benched later in the year was the correct call.
But at that point, that's why it happened. The ship had sailed, and we also saw the writing on the wall. Oh, Buddy didn't do too well.
No.
In the time, and obviously they end up losing.
But I
to,
am very
Tennessee.
Encouraged by what he could do at Oregon State. Like that right. is very encouraging to me. So I'm on board with DJ could have a really good year. To me, the quarterback that was the best transfer that probably has the most to prove to is Sam Hartman going to Notre Dame. Let's be honest, Notre Dame's year started off atrociously. I mean, you know, you lose barely to Ohio State. Everyone thinks you're going to be phenomenal. And then week two, you just drop the ball to Marshall. And, I mean, Marcus Freeman is a really, really good defensive coach. I think Notre Dame has a fairly good defense, but their quarterback play last year was absolutely
they had a lot of
terrible.
Injuries.
They
did. I agree. They did. Not a good year at all. First year under Marcus Freeman was not good. Some bright spots closed the season pretty strong.
Oh, yeah.
But
for sure.
I'm with you. I agree. Yeah. Keep going. Keep going.
So, I think Sam Hartman, who has did a phenomenal job at Wake Forest, gets an opportunity to come into Notre Dame. You know, I mean, Wake Forest got to play Clemson in some of these games, but Notre Dame plays a pretty high-profile schedule.
Clemson. I'm fixing to run it down.
They got USC. I know you're going to run down the rest of them. But he has a chance to come in here and really, really do something at Notre Dame before he's off to the NFL. So I'm very high on Marcus Freeman, too, but I'm very high on Sam Hartman and what he could potentially do at Notre Dame as their starting quarterback.
Yeah, this schedule is – you got to tip your cap to them. It's brutal.
Oh, yeah.
It is brutal. So they start week one with Navy, which – if you're playing a triple option team, that I don't care what you do, that's never fun.
No, not at all.
The lucky thing for them is they play them first game of the season, so I promise they have worked that in the offseason. Then they got Tennessee State, which is just two egg tech. NC State. NC State's been good in the past. They lost their quarterback.
We'll
shout out to the state of Kentucky. They got a dang good one.
That's
Leary.
Another one we could have talked about, too.
It really is. It really is. In all honesty, might be the right answer.
Yeah.
They play Ohio State in week four. They got Duke. Duke looked good last year.
Yeah.
They got Louisville. Louisville's been decent.
Yeah.
Then they play USC, Pittsburgh, Clemson, Wake Forest. He gets to play the home team. And then they ended out with Stanford, which will be a win.
Yeah.
That is a daunting schedule. Do you think they win seven ball games?
Oh, I think they win at least seven. I think so. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean,
I'm telling you, that is a tough road to hoe, man. That
is
a daunting schedule.
But what could a more defensive-minded coach also do with a star-studded quarterback? Like somebody who could potentially give him really, really good.
Oh yeah, it's the old Mike Bobo thing at Georgia.
Yeah.
He was asked recently in an interview, when was the last time you had to line up and you didn't think you had to score on every possession? He said, I've never been able to do that in my career.
Yeah.
They might have that opportunity now with a really good defense and a quarterback who can also carry them to where they need to go.
Man, this – which know they had,
Sam is still – I know this sounds crazy. He's still kind of unproven.
He is.
That
no,
system
that's for
at
sure.
Wake Forest was so strange with that slow mesh.
Right.
And obviously they're not going to do that at Notre Dame. Well, we have to assume they're not going to do that.
Talking about what ifs, though, it's just think about this year. What if they could play Ohio State week one?
Oh,
Ohio State's going to have to break in
a
brand new quarterback.
I agree.
I mean, like, you know, last year you got
awesome, dude.
Last year you got C.J. Stroud, and you almost beat him.
Oh, my gosh. You gave him your absolute best shot.
Yeah, what could you do week one against Kyle McCord or whoever Ohio
State's
going to
have? Just the thought of that is that. I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, week four is not bad. Both teams kind of get
Ohio State will have a little bit more put together, but they're still going to be placing Legos.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
100%. They're still going to be trying to figure it out.
I mean, what if the quarterback they start is not the quarterback who plays week four?
That's true.
I mean, they got two guys competing for a job. Well, they got one that we would probably tip the cap to say is going to be the guy. And they got just a buttload of receivers. I mean, let's be honest. You and I could probably throw some balls up, and that receiving core would bring them down. It's the best receiving core in college football still.
Yeah, probably true.
All right. So you say old Sam Hartman, and I'm going DJ Uiagalelei.
I wonder if we're going to re-listen to this in the season and be like, Leary was the
answer. I was fitting to say, as much as I'm sitting here thinking about it, the problem is he does play in the SEC East, which is weaker, but I think it's just so tough to compare any competition outside of the SEC to the SEC.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you know, barring one or two teams in each conference.
It'll be interesting. Oh, another one I just thought about off the top of my head, Cade McNamara at Iowa.
Yeah.
That's a very – because Iowa, too, Iowa's just like Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Really, really good defense, but they have not had a quarterback yet.
They have not. You're right.
So, it'll be interesting. There's several options we probably could have went with.
Oh, no, there is, and it's going to be very exciting to watch. Very exciting to watch.
Yep.
All right, just off top, and we did not plan this, so this is kind of a surprise. What about first-time starting quarterbacks moving into this year? Are there any that off the top of your head – if you had to pick one and ride with him?
Oh, it's Carson Beck for me.
Do you like Carson? 100%.
Well, I mean, I was at G-Day, and, like, just to see him, A, he's been there 3 years. He knows the system. Like, he's solid in the system, but he is the only one that I firmly watched on G-Day and was like, he looks good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it when he gets into a game, it's going to be a completely different thing. Like, it's all bets are off at that point. The gloves are off. Like, it's time to go. But I'm very, very excited about what Carson Beck could do.
I think I would have to echo your sentiments. So, no Graham Mertz love over at Florida for you?
Absolutely not. Her Mertz hurts even at Florida.
If you know Jordan's repu, which is so funny that, like, that last game you did pick him and then they lost. You were like, I'm never picking Graham Mertz again, and then you
never will.
I'm with you. All right, brother, it is time to pick some division winners. So the way this works for me and Jordan, we've been doing this for a while now. We will give you the two division winners, and we will give you a dark horse. Jordan, run us down some of the best odds. Where are we starting? In the ACC?
Yeah, we'll start in the ACC.
Oh, here we go. Y'all better strap in. We about to get after it early and often.
So
before we go into this, I just want to say, you're one of my best friends, pal. Here we go. Jordan, run us down the odds for the ACC division winners.
So this is off of FanDuel. This is just the specific one we look at, or we're looking at right now. If you go on a different site, these odds could be very different. The favorite to win the ACC at this point is Florida State, plus 165. From there, it goes Clemson, North Carolina, Louisville, and Miami at a whopping plus 2,200.
Honestly, might not be a terrible thing to throw $10 on. Miami over there, Mario Cristobal. All right, I'm gonna let you have at it because I know you're passionate. We do want to point out that the ACC has now dropped their divisions.
Yep,
they're no longer Atlantic and Coastal. It is just all ACC, much like the Big 12 and the Pac-12. Now it's wide open. Have at it, Jordan Harris.
Yeah,
who are your two teams in a dark horse? And well, are we doing winners too?
I'll do winners.
All right.
Winners.
I know we're doing that now, or we're doing it now or later. All right. Have at it.
All right. I'm going to be honest with you. I think Florida State is going to come out on top of this ACC conference, Atlantic Coastal Conference is what I just said.
Let's not bury the lead there. The man didn't even pick the two teams. He just told
you. I'm not
going to.
I think it's Florida State. I think Clemson is the other one across the board from when it's all said and done. The important dates for Florida State. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I'll go ahead and spill this one. They're going to be one of my playoff predictions. Their month of September is terrible. They have to open up at or playing LSU in Orlando, neutral site game, quote unquote. This one's obviously deep in Florida, so they'll have a little bit of advantage there more than likely. And then week four, they travel to Clemson and play at Clemson. So now, obviously, Florida State can only lose one of those games to be able to go to the playoffs. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I really do. I think Clemson at Clemson probably beats them that first go around. But then Florida State could turn around and beat them in the ACC championship. So that's my picks for that. I'll be honest with you. This does not – I mean, I know they're way on down there. I feel like Miami's got to be the dark horse. I mean, I know the year they had last year was abysmal. But new offensive coordinator – Tyler Van Dyke had all that smoke about going to Alabama. He stays. Didn't have a great year last year, but when you think about it 2 years ago, he was a Heisman contender. I mean, going into the last season,
yeah,
he was a Heisman contender.
We were both picked Miami
very
in the preseason show last
so,
year.
So, you know, Mario Cristobal, I think he can get together at Miami. Is this year he does it? I don't know, but because of the kind of question marks around it, I gotta pick Miami.
Not a bad dark horse pick right there.
Yeah.
It won't be mine, but not a bad one. If we were trying to get ratings here, if we were on the old ESPNs and we were some of those announcers, I would tell you, Jordan, you just lost all credibility. You don't know how to pick. You don't know nothing. You know nothing. So I will pick the same two teams that you did, FSU and Clemson. And I'm actually just going to go opposite of what you said. As I look at the schedule I don't think it's – I told you, it's not a terrible pick to say that FSU will, one thing, win the ACC and then go to the playoff. That's not a terrible pick. I think – okay, we all watched that FSU-LSU game last year. LSU played absolutely terrible. FSU wins by a miracle when they miss the extra point. They missed the extra point to tie to go to overtime. Who knows if they would have even won in overtime. We both agree that if LSU and FSU would have played at the end of the season, LSU would have smashed them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 100%.
Okay, all right. LSU going to smash them in that first game. That's a wrap. That is done. Signed, sealed, delivered, bet whatever you want. If you're playing college football, pick them or whatever. Put them at 10 confidence. LSU wins. Just to be generous? No, I'm not going to be generous. Clemson going to beat them week four?
Week four.
Clemson's going to beat them there, too. Mike Norvell is the new Mark Richt. He's a great coach. He's a good dude. I love the way he talks to them boys on the sidelines and in practice. I like the way he conducts himself. He cannot win a big game. He creates new ways to lose. They are going to squander so much potential this year, and I hate it for them. I will give you this scenario, though. In my scenario, this kind of has to happen. Well, I guess it don't have to happen. The ACC could implode. Clemson, it will not surprise me if Clemson loses in week in the first meeting, because Cade will still be cutting his teeth, and obviously Jordan Travis and FSU return, I think, 82% of their starters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just they're on a collision course to be great. They'll get them in the first game, I'll give you that, and then Clemson will smash them in the ACC title game. Clemson is winning the ACC. You can take it to the bank. I will tell you right here, I will be putting – a couple of dollars on Clemson winning the ACC at a sports book in Virginia. I don't mind telling you that. They're going to be one of my three-leg parlays that I'm going to do. I'm sorry, brother. FSU just ain't going to do it. Cut to FSU wins the ACC title. Because I've told you, I was going to stick to the old guns here.
Yeah.
My dark horse is going to be Drake May and UNC.
Yeah.
They had a really up and down season last year. The loss to App State really was so weird, and I know that hurt, and that was just a very strange, you know, Hail Mary in the last second to win, different things like that. But if I had to put money on it, I like North Carolina. I like their schedule. I like the way it shakes out. But yeah, I like your Miami pick too. I mean, it doesn't bother me at all.
And I mean, I want to say this too. Like there is a, as much as we're picking Clemson to be in here, and you're picking them to win, which I completely disagree with. But hey.
It's okay to be wrong.
It's okay for you to be wrong.
One of us. Well, we could both be. One of us definitely gonna be wrong.
But I mean, I just want like when you break down Clemson, their quarterback is obviously gonna be Cade Klubnik for the time being. I mean, that's pretty much a clear answer. They have a new offensive coordinator in Garrett Riley, which did wonders at TCU last year.
Balled
so who
out.
Knows what he could do at Clemson? There is a very real possibility here where Clemson just implodes on itself. I mean, it probably doesn't happen, but they still have to play North Carolina. Granted, that's in Clemson. And, I mean, North Carolina is your dark horse. I think they're a very, very good possibility to make the ACC championship again. They have to play Syracuse at Syracuse, and we remember what happened
always
one last time they played Syracuse at home. So, I mean, there's a lot of potential there for them just not even make it. I get the sentiment on Mike Norvell. I've said this numerous times. Like, the dude just makes stupid decisions at stupid times. But he's gotten better every year. Like, Florida State has gotten better every year, and they are.
Last year they had a game one that they
Jordan Travis threw that.
That was terrible.
But they are loaded this year. What they have done in the transfer portal is insane. I mean, they got Keon Coleman from Michigan State, who's going to be a phenomenal receiver for them. Jaheim Bell from South Carolina, which is Dollar General Brock Bowers. I mean, I say that like it's a slight. It's not a slight.
Yeah,
I mean, nobody's like Brock Bowers, but he can do the things that Brock Bowers can do, just not as well. And, I mean, like, they are low. They got defensive help, too. Like, they have all the talent in the world to go to the playoffs this year as long as Mike Norvell stays out of Mike Norvell's way.
Right. I guess the thing that I would hang my hat on is Clemson's defense. Clemson is always going to have
true.
A top five defense. Dabo Sweeney's proven he can done it. He's been there, done that. I mean, Clemson's been everybody's dad in the ACC for the last, you know, seven, 8 years moving, you know. So it's everything's there, everything's written. And it's the same thing that I used to say, that people used to say about Mark Richt. I was a fan, so I tried not to say it. But it's, you got to prove it to me. Yeah. Win a big one and prove it to me. And maybe this time next year I tip my cap and I say, hey, I was wrong. Mike Norvell had a great season. They balled out. It just it won't surprise me if at the end of September they're 2-2.
I mean, also, you know who the ACC's daddy was before it was Clemson?
Who's that?
It's Florida State.
Yeah, that's true.
For a while.
Well, Miami, yeah.
Miami 90s, too.
FSU, yeah, I agree.
Florida schools have always been something to, you know, yeah. Florida, I mean, this is a tangent, but Florida is a recruiting gold mine.
Oh, 100%.
And if those three schools could figure it out.
Florida, Georgia, California, Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the significant players come from. All right, so just to recap. You got FSU and Clemson.
Yep.
Dark horse Miami with FSU winning. I got FSU and Clemson. Dark horse and UNC with Clemson winning.
Yep.
What conference are we jumping to now?
Big Ten was head on in alphabetical order. So Big Ten has, I mean, the top three are about the top three you'd expect. Ohio State at +165 to win the conference. On down from them is Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota. I feel like Minnesota's typically has some good games. I felt like they're out of place there, but Minnesota rounds that out with a +2,900 odds to win the conference.
+2,900. Jeez. All right, I'll take this one. I think we're going to see some Bash Brothers congruency here. I'm going to go, which maybe not, I don't know. I think this one's probably one of the easier ones to predict.
Yeah.
I got Michigan continuing on their side of the conference. They just return so much talent. They do lose the Bell kid in the wide receiver.
Yeah.
But they return quarterback. They return a lot of receivers. They got the running back. They clearly have one of the better defenses in the country. They've proven now with back-to-back college football playoff appearances. I know they didn't win the game. They're coming off a 2-0 stretch against Ohio State. I think they do that again. I like for Michigan to play Wisconsin. We talked earlier. I think Luke Fickell has the best year as a first-time head coach at Wisconsin. Wisconsin got a stable of running backs. I think they're going to produce really well. I think you're going to see like a Kenneth Walker III-esque type thing that happened at Michigan State happen at Wisconsin. I think they're really going to ride that. They will meet Michigan. Michigan will win. My dark horse, based on what I have moving forward, has to be Ohio State.
Yeah.
It's so tough to pick against Penn State. Penn State is just, to me, Penn State is like the dark horse of college football.
Yeah.
Like, Penn State could 100% be a playoff team. They just have such a tough road, which all three of these teams do because they all three play each other. Michigan is just more proven. They have the experience. But the dark horse has to be Ohio State. We'll talk about this moving forward. I hate, and I mean hate, picking teams that are playing very new quarterbacks that have just not been in the system for long, which Ohio State will be doing.
I do agree with you on the Michigan pick. I think Michigan is the clear favorite here. I mean, they've ran the Big Ten the last 2 years, and now they get Ohio State back in the big house this year, which obviously highly favors them.
And they've really, like, especially last year, dude, they handled everybody. I think the Penn State game was close, closer than people wanted it to be. But, I mean, that just comes with football. Like, look at the two Ohio State games.
Well,
I mean,
not only that, too. Go look at transfer portal ratings on 247. Look who's on up there with the big boys. Michigan had one of the best years in the transfer portal. So, they, again, really, really bulked up their team. I hate to do this. I really do. Because I know I said Luke Fickell's going to have the best year of all the new head coaches, and I still believe that. But if I'm looking up and down this thing right here of who's going to take the Big Ten championship, I'm going to put Iowa back in there.
I don't think that's a bad pick at all.
Because they're going to have a good defense again, and they finally should have a quarterback who could give them some offensive play.
If you were picking a dark horse out of that side of the division, you for sure, I think I was sure the second best team. The problem is there's such a three-headed monster over.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would bet as much money as I have that either Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State is the one who goes, obviously.
I agree.
Duh.
But with Iowa, though, like, last year, there was games they lost where the other team only scored 20 points or 21 points. If
they had a quarterback, they could have had a very, very
successful
season.
You're telling me Cade McNamara couldn't get you 26 points or 27 or 28
Hundo
points?
Hundo P.
I mean, like, it's very real. And I think that is going to be enough to propel them into the Big Ten championship. My dark horse, I'm going to say Penn State.
I mean, it's flip a coin.
Because
here's
my reason why. A, Penn State may have the best running back core in the Big Ten.
In the country.
But the difference between Ohio State and Penn State to me right now is, for me anyway, one has Drew Aller and one has a question mark. I don't know.
I don't know what
Ohio State's going to look like at quarterback. They could be really, really good. And by week three or four, I may know if they're really, really good or not. But I know what Drew Aller could potentially do for Penn State. And so as of right now, that's why I put Penn State as my dark horse.
I dig it. I think, like I said, I think you flip a coin on dark horse, Ohio State or Penn State.
Yeah, 100%.
And whichever, I will say this, whichever one it is, might be your fourth seed into the playoff.
Very well could be.
And we might be alluding to something there. All right, what we got next?
Big 12 going down. So I think the favorite is something everybody would guess. It's Texas plus 115.
All right.
From there, it is Oklahoma, Kansas State, Texas Tech, Baylor, and TCU, your runner-up from the national championship from last year, plus 2,000 odds to win the Big 12.
The one that I'm picking you don't even have because it goes too low on the list, Kansas. And Jaden Daniels comes back and he's healthy. That's not who I'm picking, but gosh, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Okay, so we can both agree Texas is definitely going to be in there. Texas is one. I do think you could put smart money on Kansas State.
Yeah.
I think you could put decent money on TCU. I think as far
Texas Tech has something to say, too.
Texas Tech, Iowa State. You've heard Josh Pate. If you watch him, he's already put money on both Texas Tech and Iowa State. There is a dark horse somewhere in the Big 12 that will match Texas.
Oh, yeah.
But until I see it, I've got to go Red River times two.
Okay.
I'm going to go Oklahoma. I think what Brett Venables is bringing, and I say bringing because it's not there yet, is a more defensive mindset as they get ready to enter the SEC. We are now aware this is the last year these two teams will be in the Big 12, because we know 2025 is their year. Okay, I thought this year's last. 2024. I'm going to say that Brent Venables and Oklahoma will meet Texas, and in terms of my confidence scale in a team that I'm picking, Oklahoma is the lowest out of the whole thing. Texas will win the ball game. Texas is your Big 12 champion. I will go as my dark horse, Texas Tech and the Red Raiders.
Yeah, Texas is my pick to win it all. I mean, I think
that's obvious. It's so hard to, especially after watching their spring game and watching Quinn Ewers ball out, watching Arch Manning just tear up the. Oh wait, he was terrible. Sorry, I had to do that. But I'm serious. Watching their spring game, they return a ton of their starters. They also crushed it in the portal. They got one of our guys in AD Mitchell who made a sick catch that spring game. Yeah, I miss you five. Thank you for the memories. And I think I'm with you. I think everybody's going to say on Texas. Yeah. Who's meeting them there?
This is a little bit of Kansas State from TCU too rubbing off on me, but I'm going to pick Texas Tech.
I mean,
Joey McGuire had a good first year, and I mean, I think with him coming in, the air raid offense they use, I think there's real possibility for Texas Tech to do something in the Big 12. Not to mention, we don't know what Oklahoma is.
That's true.
Like, we still don't know what Oklahoma is under Brent Venables. They had a terrible year last year. You know, I expect him to get the defense together at some point. They have a Heisman contender in Dillon Gabriel as quarterback. And, I mean, Jackson Arnold, too. You know, Josh Pate's super high on that kid, which he's a highly touted recruit. But I'll pick Texas Tech to be there with Texas at the end.
They still have that quarterback, Texas Tech, that's undefeated. Yeah. The one who got hurt and they brought him in. He's literally still never lost a game at Texas Tech.
The like Big 12 to me, and even with Texas, it could still be this, but past Texas is so wide open, it's not even funny.
Oh, no, I'm serious. There's a conversation for about six or seven different teams, and you still might not pick the TCU-style winner of last year.
Yeah, and my dark horse is going to be Oklahoma. I mean, you can't ever count them out. I mean, Oklahoma is a big brand. They obviously ran college football for a while. Brett Venables is a phenomenal defensive coach. If he can ever get that part together – he's got the weapons on offense to really have a good team. So
I mean, I think you could make a conversation for Kansas. You could make a conversation for, I mean, Baylor's still in there somewhere. I mean, Matt Aranda is a heck of a coach. Iowa State, we mentioned them, you know, off top of this discussion.
Yeah.
It will not surprise me at all if somebody like TCU performs like that and meets Texas. Yep. Which, hey, we picked Texas last year and we felt good about it. Guess what? They didn't even make the game. So there's that. Who we got next?
Pac-12, baby. So we got USC leading it, plus 200. On down from them, you got Oregon, Washington, Utah, Oregon State, which is kind of – Oregon State done jumping on up there.
Come on now.
And then UCLA rounds that out with plus 1,800.
I'll let you take this one off rip. Can we both agree that this is the deepest conference in college football?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I mean, top to bottom, I think this
is – the quarterback conference
by
far.
It's the best college – there's four or five teams in this conference that if you told me made the playoff, not the conference championship, that if they made the playoff, I would say, yeah, sounds about right.
The – four out of five, and then maybe even UCLA potentially, four out of five of these teams that we just listed off all have a potential Heisman quarterback.
Oh, 100%. I mean, like, it's just – 100%.
I can't bet against USC here. I know Lincoln Riley has typically had the defensive problems, but let's be honest, with the Pac-12 in general typically has defensive problems. Lincoln Riley has gone back to the transfer portal again. And he's grabbed some dudes. Now, obviously, you got Bear Alexander from Georgia, who could very much lead this defensive line and be dominant depending on what he goes against, you know, throughout the year.
Speaking of which, if you need a Bear Alexander jersey, please contact Jordan Harris at Jordan Harris.
I have one. It's unsigned, so I mean, you can do whatever you want to with it. But, yeah, I mean, you got a Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback coming back, which is never a bad thing. So, I mean, I think USC has to lead the pack. Matt, for me – I'm going to pick Washington as the runner-up right behind him.
I dig it.
I mean, Michael Penix Jr. has a real chance to be a Heisman winner this year. Washington had a ball-out year last year. They played phenomenally well. I think Washington is potentially a playoff contender, depending on which – I mean, really and truly, any of these Pac-12 schools are. If you win the Pac-12, I think you're in this year. This is the first year I think we've been able to say that firmly, or I've been able to say that firmly. I don't know what your take's going to be. But that's just my personal opinion. My dark horse, I'm going to go with Oregon. I think Bo Nix really reinvented himself last year at Oregon. He played really well compared to his Auburn days. And, you know, this is should be his last year. I don't think he's got any more eligibility.
He's been there. He's the new Stetson Bennett. The dude's been playing college football for a while.
You know, he's got to show out and get ready for the draft and show other NFL teams what he can do. So I think Oregon's going to be my dark horse.
I dig it. I'm going to go USC. I'm just the old tried and true over the last couple of years. I like USC and I like Utah. You know, we talked earlier about Mike Norvell being a Mark Richt 2.0. Mark Richt 2.0 is Lincoln Riley. He is going to give you 10 wins consistently, and he cannot win the big game.
Can't coach a lick of defense.
And see, who's the one team we know that plays defense in the Pac-12?
Utah.
And I will always hang my hat on defense. Defense still wins championships as long as the football is oblong and made of pigskin. So I'm going to go USC versus Utah. My dark horse will be Oregon as well. This is probably going to be the take that'll get me in trouble when I listen back to it.
Oh, Lord.
You know, besides maybe the Clemson FSU thing. I just don't – I mean, when you look at a lot of projections that ESPN analysts and actual TV analysts have made moving forward, which we're all making preseason predictions that are stupid. Everybody acknowledges that. You're going to see a lot of USC in the playoff, but you do see some Washington in the playoff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's not – like, it's there. It's here. That time has come. I do not see it at all. I like Michael Penix Jr. a lot. I don't think he's even going to come close to being in New York. I don't know. I mean, everything that I've seen, he's a great – I mean, he was great at Indiana. He obviously had a great season last year. I just don't see it. And that's okay. Maybe it happens. Maybe it doesn't. He's going to have to prove it to me. And if he does, that is awesome. But for now, I got USC in there because I just think they are offensively, they are such a dynamic program, and they did add some potential good players on defense in the transfer portal. I got Utah because they got a freaking fantastic quarterback coming back in Cam Rising. Hopefully he's healed, you know, tore the old ACL in that bowl game, which, gosh darn it, I needed that win to beat Jordan, and it didn't happen. Thanks a lot, Cam. I got screwed by quarterbacks that whole bowl season. And then my dark horse, for the same reasons you said, Oregon. And it will not surprise me at all if Oregon's in there and gets the job done. But for now, give me Utah as your Pac-12 champion.
Absolutely. All right, last but not least, our favorite conference by far, SEC. So the
SEC.
The odds as of right now are Georgia plus 105. Then it goes Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M, Tennessee, and Ole Miss rounding out at a whopping. And I mean whopping, plus 4,500.
Come on, now. What's that Vanderbilt line, plus 40,000?
Yeah. Actually, let me see. I'm going to click on this. I want to see. Genuinely.
What is the Vanderbilt line?
Vanderbilt's not even last. Well, actually, they're up three teams tied for last. Plus 10,000 for Vanderbilt, Missouri,
plus
and Kentucky.
Plus 10,000. Come
it's
on,
it's crazy.
Now.
I can start this one off. I'm going to be honest. My favorite's going to be Georgia. I mean, I know we're I know Georgia in general is replacing a quarterback. A lot of teams are, but
hey, they're replacing less this year than they did last year.
They are 100%. And I've seen Carson Beck play spring game. I've seen him play a few times. I'm more confident in Georgia's new quarterback than I am a lot of the field. And I'm gonna pick LSU to come back, play him in the SEC championship. I mean, Jaden Daniels had some really really good games last year. Obviously, he struggled at times, but Even without Jaden Daniels, I've seen Garrett Nussmeier absolutely throw bullets across the field.
Facts.
I think LSU is poised for a really good year. And like I've said earlier, Alabama, until I see the product that their quarterback puts out on the field, I'm just not comfortable with them this year. They by far, I think, have top three or four the most talented roster in all of college football.
Oh, there's no doubt about
across
it.
Across the field.
I think that's where the projections are coming from.
But if you can't confidently tell me they're going to consistently score and their quarterback won't consistently turn the ball over, I just don't feel good enough with them to pick them. So as of right now, my two teams are Georgia and LSU. Would Georgia win the SEC championship for the second year in a row? And for my dark horse, I
know you don't want to do it, but you probably should do it.
I know. I got to pick Texas A&M.
Okay.
That's
not what I was talking about, but okay.
Well, talking about Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, Alabama's a good – I don't know. I feel like either or.
You were putting 100 on it, you would put it on A&M over Bama? Mm,
good question.
Yeah, no. It's tough.
I will
really
say
is.
This, though. I'm more confident in
Connor
Wagman.
Yeah, same.
And, I mean, Texas A&M has a really talented roster, too. I know they had just the biggest exodus of players from last year.
Yeah.
They had another really good recruiting class. Not as good.
Of course, yeah.
But another really good one. Texas A&M is still going to be talented. I think it's very much going to come down to what does Bobby Petrino bring
to that offense?
Can he fix what Jimbo has been more or less unwilling to for the last couple of years?
That's a great way to put that.
But we'll see what happens. I feel like Texas A&M and Alabama could very, very easily be swapped out here, but I'm going to go with Texas A&M.
Yeah, so I'm with you on the sentiments of – and this all this whole thing makes me nervous because I don't care what the team is. A first-time starting quarterback terrifies me.
Oh, yeah.
The difference and the upside that I think Carson Beck will have against other teams is he's been in the system now for three years. So he's been here a while. He was the number two for a long time until something weird happened and this walk-on kid came in versus UAB instead of him. So all of that makes me nervous. Same with Alabama. And Alabama, I have not seen proof of the product.
Right.
I watched that spring game. It don't look great. Obviously, they get a transfer in from Notre Dame. That ain't good either.
And I want to interject with this, too. As bad as we've seen Jalen Milroe be, as highly touted as he is, nobody's talking about Ty Simpson playing.
I agree.
And I mean like...
Oh, well, we said it. What's the name of the kid who came in from Notre Dame?
Buckner.
Okay, yeah. Tyler Buckner joins his offensive coordinator now at Alabama. Yep. And we both said it. When you're getting a quarterback in after spring from the transfer portal, that's not good. You're not supposed to do that. And I don't think that the offensive coordinator is calling his buddy over at Notre Dame and saying, hey, come over here and sit on the bench. No, they're saying, we need you, bro.
Yeah.
They need you. Which is not – that's just not good. We're calling a spade, right?
Yeah.
I have Georgia going in because the East is light.
It is.
The East is very light. I mean, we got to be honest. After Georgia lost that massive Oklahoma game because the SEC didn't want us to have any fun or the NCAA didn't want us to have any fun until 2024, if we even get to see Georgia versus Oklahoma in 24, who knows what the scheduling looks like. But when they lost that game and added, had to add another FCS opponent because they're not going to create another team in the SEC East, they're really very few challenges on this schedule.
Ball State wasn't a good pickup.
No, it wasn't the greatest pickup in the world, which that's not Georgia's fault. No, that's not just at all. That's the rules that we all have to play under. That's the umbrella that we're under. The thing that gives me a lot of hope is Carson Beck really will get to cut his teeth for a long time until he runs up against a team who on Georgia's absolute worst day and on that team's absolute best day has the ability to beat us. And that's probably South Carolina. You know, South Carolina, not a terrible team. They've been on the up and up. I mean, look at last year.
Beat us in 19 they did. At home.
Well, that was just a catastrophe. It was. Jake Frum threw three interceptions. But I like LSU out of the West. I do.
Yeah.
They proved it to me last year. I know that I said that they're going to lose I talked about FSU. I think they're going to beat FSU, which will be a huge marquee win. Obviously, that has nothing to do with the SEC.
Yeah.
I think they're scared. I mean, the West is tough, but it really comes down to LSU and Alabama for me. I do think a good dark horse is Texas A&M. I see your point. Won't surprise me at all if A&M shocks the world at all. But I got Georgia playing LSU in Atlanta, and I got Georgia winning. I just think the defense is there. LSU, their one knock would be on defense, which I think the one bump for Alabama is their defense. I think you could see a top deal with Alabama like Georgia of 2021 of saying, hey, we just need a quarterback to manage the game, take care of the offense, don't turn the ball over, and our defense will try to hold everybody to under 17, score me over 17, and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Alabama will be my dark horse. Georgia wins the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And, you know, I think with Alabama, I said it in the last episode. I might have said this episode. I can't remember what I've said at this point. But Jalen Milroe, when he's on the field, will be the most athletic guy on the field.
No doubt.
If he is their starting quarterback, can he keep the ball safe and not turn it over? The benefit Alabama does have this year, they play LSU and Tennessee at home, which last year was on the road. Now, granted, last time we saw Alabama play a tough opponent on the road was Texas A&M, and Texas A&M was about 4 yards from winning that game. I guess who the starting quarterback for Alabama was that game. Jalen Milroe. So we'll see what happens. Alabama has a good shot at any just to win that whole SEC, but it's really going to come down to what does their quarterback play look like when we kick off the season.
Ooh, I'm getting ready to call some shots at this Final Four, so it is about to heat up.
All right.
So one thing that happens before we go to the playoffs, we pick a Heisman Trophy winner.
I like it.
Do you want to go first?
I'll go first. I'm going to be honest with you. I feel – now, granted, we got to preface this too. With the Heisman Trophy winner, there's going to be somebody who comes out of the blue and winds
100%.
Up being – you know. I mean, I think you could have probably mentioned Stetson Bennett at the beginning of last season. Wasn't nobody going to mention Max Duggan? Like, that was not even on anybody's mind until the end of the year.
Just to give you some betting odds, we got Caleb Williams as the front runner at +500, followed by Jordan Travis, Drake May, Quinn Ewers, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, Cade Klubnik, all in the 1600s or lower.
Yeah.
In your plus minus.
I'm just gonna say this to back up my hype of Florida State. I'm gonna go Jordan Travis. He had a great year last year.
Neither of us are going for the repeat.
No, he'll be there. I could bet money on that.
Yeah, he'll be in New York.
But Jordan Travis this year has a plethora of weapons.
Facts.
The biggest thing with them is let's call a spade here. The Heisman Trophy is a winning award.
It is.
You have to
win.
That's
his problem.
Well, that's his problem for you. I think Florida State is going to be prime position for him to win it. Mike Norvell just got to stay out of his own way and let the quarterback work. I really, really think Jordan Travis is prime for a big year here, and I think he will win the Heisman.
I feel like I should just go with Caleb Williams because it's the easy bet. But I'm not going to do that. And I think part of me wants to go, I'll match your ACC pick and go North Carolina with Drake May.
Yep.
I don't think that's a terrible pick. I'm actually going to go Quinn Ewers at Texas.
I like it. Yep.
I loved what I saw in that spring game.
He's got three big wide receivers, too.
He does. He really does. And he has just, it looks like he's turned the curve.
Yeah.
It looked, because last year, man, was so up and down, which he did battle the injury, and then Hudson Card came in and played okay, and then he gets back in. The Washington loss in the bowl game hurt me a lot. Again, another pick that was just brutal. And he looked even – he didn't look bad in the Washington bowl game. But he looked great in that spring game. I love the improvements. I'm high on Texas, obviously. Will they make it to the playoffs? Eh, no. But I'm high on Texas. I agree. It is a winning award. I can see Texas knocking out 10 wins and winning their and winning the Big 12 title game.
Yeah.
Give me Quinn Ewers at, like, I think he's like plus 1,000. I'll take it all day.
I like it. I mean,
it'll be Caleb Williams repeat, and we'll both be wrong.
Probably will be. I mean, I could very well see it. That Joker.
Kid too.
He plays in the right conference to do it. So
he does. No defense, but yeah. Unless you play in Utah.
All right. How you want to do it? You want to go 4-1, back and forth?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't even look at how I was breaking it. I have my four teams, and I guess I'll rank them in my head to where I think they are. I'll go through the season in my head.
You just want one of us to give our four, and then I give my four, then you give your four, and then we
– Let's go. Let's start number one.
I'm going to go Georgia. I think Georgia's schedule really, really benefits them. I mean, you have one tough road game potentially with Tennessee, and we don't even know if that's a tough road game. Tennessee could be undefeated by the time they play, or Tennessee could have lost three games.
They could.
Like, we don't know. And then you play Ole Miss in Athens the week before that. So, tough stretch, but when you look across the SEC and their schedule, there's just not – like, the depth's not there.
There is. So, you've already said you got them winning against LSU.
Yeah.
I will say this. It won't surprise me if we're looking back on this season this time next year. Georgia runs the table, loses to LSU in a close game because it's like really the first – let's say that's the first really tough challenge that they run into.
Yeah,
or they
true.
Run into Alabama. You know, Alabama ends up having a great season.
Yeah.
They run into Alabama and lose, and they're the four seed. That will not surprise me at all. But you have to put – I try to make – we talk about this. You try to make all these decisions based on if I had to put money on the line.
Right.
Where is smart money? What am I doing? It's easy for me to sit here
put
and
put money on the line 90-plus days before we even kick
exactly, off. Exactly. Exactly. It's very easy to sit here and just say, oh, so-and-so is going to do this. Okay, well, if you had to drop $100 on it, would you still be saying that? So, yes, smart money tells me that you're back-to-back defending national champions who should have a great defense and what looks to be a great quarterback who's been in your system now for 3 years. You're recruiting on a consistent high level. You've proven that if you lose guys to the draft or just senior turnover, that you can repeat for a natty again. Georgia's going to be my number one seed.
Yeah. Number two, I got Michigan. I mean, when you look across the board, Michigan – not only do they have a super talented roster, but they've really re-upped in the transfer portal. I think that really benefits them. And obviously, their toughest competition in the season, they get to play in the Big House. So, I mean, it really benefits them in the year to play Ohio State at home. And then, you know, like we've said it numerous times, the Big Ten West, I think it gets better with the additions of Luke Fickell and Matt Rhule, but it's just not in the same ballpark at this point. So, I think Michigan really has an opportunity to go undefeated again, win the Big Ten championship, and cruise on in that two spot.
Copy and paste. I'm right there with you. I almost put Kansas State in my number two spot. Obviously, that's a joke.
Yeah.
I do want to have something that shocks the world, but I just don't think it's there right now. I'm with you. Michigan, number two. I could see the same sentiment. Let's say Wisconsin goes something like 9-3, and they run up into them undefeated regular season, and Wisconsin beats them by three. Same thing that kind of happened to TCU, Kansas State style.
Yeah.
And Michigan still goes in at a lower seed. But again, smart money right now says Michigan's been there, done that. They should be even better now with more people on the roster with playoff experience for them to finally get a playoff win. Put Michigan at number two.
Yeah. I'm going to put an asterisk beside this third one because I think this third spot – to me, belongs to the Pac-12. It really depends on what Pac-12 team comes out on top. But as of right now, I'm putting USC in that spot. I think last year they were so close to breaking in. I mean, they were. Let's be honest. They played the Pac-12 championship with a hurt Caleb Williams. That joker was limping for his life the whole game. What happens if he's healthy? Well, that's part of college football. We play the games on the field, not on paper. So, I mean, we can't really make that argument. But They have some boost in the defense, so I think they do play a little bit better defense this year at least. Offense should be fireworks as always. I think they're going to be the best team in the Pac-12, and I think they have a good enough record to get that three spot at the end of the year.
Time to walk out on the ledge. Here we go. So we talked about the Pac-12, and I think a Pac-12 team still has not made the tie to the playoffs, correct?
Washington made it.
That's great. Washington did make it. That was the first year. Besides Washington, that's it. We talked about them being the toughest conference in college football, top to bottom. I believe they all cannibalize each other.
Possible.
There's never been a team who, in like the last recent years, who could just sustain it every week and go out there and win. I believe they will cannibalize each other. I do not have a Pac-12 team in my Final Four. Number three, can you guess? If you had to guess?
Clemson.
Texas.
Oh.
I got Texas at number three.
I like it, though. I do like it.
I think Texas will lose one regular season game, and they will win their Big 12 title game, and I think Texas will be your number three team, which now, if you're paying attention, you go, oh, so you're going to have either an ACC team or a team from another – from the two teams from the same conference. We'll get to that. Who you got it for? I don't even want you to say it. It's so stupid.
Oh,
I knew you were going to start singing it too.
Florida State. I think this is your – I'm telling you, I mean, Florida State has the talent ceiling to make the playoffs. And I don't think – with their talent ceiling, if Mike Norvell stays out of his own way, I don't think it's super hard for them to make the playoffs either. I think they slip up once against Clemson. I think they redeem it at the end of the year, which is when it matters. And I think Florida State gets into this four spot, playing Georgia. I don't know what bowl that would be. It's fine, whatever. But I think they play Georgia in the playoffs.
So you're leaving out the Big 12.
Leaving out the Big 12.
Let me just ask you this. If it wasn't Florida State, who do you put in there?
I put Texas, okay. If not Florida State.
All right. Gosh. This is where I look at this in three scenarios based on what I have. It's either your runner-up in the SEC, which could be Alabama.
Yeah.
Alabama maybe just loses to LSU and LSU goes undefeated. So, you know, maybe that's a possibility. Maybe it's the ACC champ. Maybe it's Clemson.
I mean, if it's LSU or Alabama, they could be undefeated going into the SEC championship.
That is very – that's right. Exactly. Maybe it's Clemson. Maybe it's FSU. Or maybe it's Ohio State. And the one team of all those scenarios that are more proven to me that has seemed to be – I hate that I'm having to do this. This plug and play is Ohio State. Ohio State keeps replacing their quarterback, and they have the best wide receiving core in the nation. They got good running backs. They got a quarterback who should – I mean, they got an incoming five-star who should do everything that he needs to do. They're consistently getting better and better on defense. Give me top to bottom – Georgia, Michigan, Texas, and Ohio State.
Okay. So, we're going to pick the playoffs now? Or?
I guess we are.
All right.
This is so – we're now on the prediction off of a prediction off of predictions, and now we make a prediction.
It's going to make no sense. If you listen back to this episode January
1st of 12th. Yeah, 2024.
After everything's over.
What if we're exactly right? What if one of us is 100% accurate?
All right, 1 through 4, the bowl, I have no idea what it's going to be yet because Georgia would pick this
Georgia,
Florida State. I'm going to pick Georgia to beat Florida State. Georgia defensively, I think, is going to be really, really good again this year. They haven't lost nobody. Jalen Carter, you know, from a ceiling standpoint, that's a big loss. But top to bottom average,
the secondary should be a lot better.
Yeah, yeah. So I got Georgia beating Florida State in the first round semifinal. Then I'm going to have Michigan beating USC. Michigan's going to be really, really good.
I think Michigan's going to be scary good. Again, smart money puts me – I mean, experience and I've seen the story play out, Georgia versus Ohio State. Georgia will pick where they want to play. They will give themselves the greatest advantage there if they're the number one seed. Obviously, playing in Atlanta this last time was a great advantage. Yep. Georgia will beat Ohio State, and I have Michigan beating Texas. So now we have a rematch of the 2021 Orange Bowl. We both – it's funny. Yep. We take all these routes. You make a terrible pick like FSU, and we still end up here at Georgia and Michigan. I will say this. I sat down with a buddy of mine, good listener of the show, shout out, you know who you are, at a restaurant about a week and a half ago. And I said, if we're filming the podcast today, I think I pick Michigan to win the national title. They have the defense. They have the experience now. They have the quarterback. They have the coach. Now we have Georgia. Obviously, they have the experience. They have the better coach. They have the what we would presume would be the would be the better defense. And quarterback-wise, that's our question mark. I have to go with experience. I have to go where the smart money is. Preseason, 100 days out, 5 months from this football game, Georgia gets it done. And for the first time in a history that we can actually record, because I know Nebraska did it in like the 30s or something like that, Georgia's your back-to-back-to-back national champion.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, there's a voice in my head right now screaming, pick Michigan.
Yeah.
But Michigan, again, it's shame on – fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. And we're in that fool me twice area. You have to prove to me that you can, let alone win a playoff game, let alone win a national title. So if I'm putting the smart money on it, I got to go with the Dogs.
Yeah. You know, Jim Harbaugh is in the same situation Kirby Smart was in 3 years ago.
And that's my point.
He has not yet proven that he could win the big one. And until he were to prove that to me.
He can't even win the little one yet. Yeah, Kirby won the little one in 2018.
Yeah. So until Jim Harbaugh can prove to me that he can win a playoff game and win a natty, I can't pick Jim Harbaugh. Not against what I would call a similar, if not better, team than what he has.
Same. That's exactly my problem.
For me, I'm going to pick the experienced head coach and the newbie quarterback, but the experienced defense and offensive line and everything else. I'm going with the Dogs, three-peat, 2023-peat. God, I'm going to go broke if that happens, but you know what? It's fine. We're going to keep making more money.
And here's one of my bold predictions. Texas beats Alabama in week two.
I think so, too.
Texas is primed for that football game. I know it's in Tuscaloosa, and that's the one thing
– Well, we talk about breaking in. Alabama's going to be breaking in a
new
offensive
coordinator. No, that's what I'm
saying.
Texas is ready.
Yeah.
Texas should be hitting on all cylinders. Quinn Ewers knows the system, has been there.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, the head coach, Steve, has plenty of experience in that. He can get them completely ready for that environment. We all can agree last year, if Quinn Ewers don't get injured, Alabama has another loss at Texas.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, that's what was happening. Oh, that's what was going to happen. Quinn Ewers and the University of Texas goes into Bryant-Denny Stadium in week two and beats Alabama.
Yeah. It's going to be a good game. But
and that, I think that will start the crumble.
New quarterback, new OC. We're going to see.
If you you lose in if Alabama goes into week three 1-1 with quarterback questions, son, you better strap in. It could get ungood quick.
I tell you what, though, I want this on the podcast right now, too, because everybody, you know, we've even mentioned it. Talk about the crumble, the fall of the dynasty, all this stuff.
Yeah.
If Alabama flips the switch week two and just beats the fool out of Texas.
Oh, here, you better strap in for that, too.
You better.
Oh, I told that same person at that same dinner, if I woke up tomorrow and you told me that Alabama went 15-0 and won a national title, or Alabama went 7-5, to both of those things, I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, I wouldn't either.
I would say, yeah, sounds right.
Yeah.
Because you have such a massive gaping hole at quarterback as a question mark. And there's no – I have no idea. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I'm telling you, you're right. That kid is a freak athlete. When he pulls that read option and runs, ain't many people going to stop him.
No.
If you're in the wrong place, it's a touchdown for six. He's going to hit his head on the goalpost. I just don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't either. We'll find out.
We will. What a show, man.
It is.
That's over an hour.
Over an hour, yeah.
That was pretty solid. I cannot wait. Maybe this won't be the only podcast we do for this year.
Maybe not.
We'll see if we can figure out this whole video content thing and do it across 11 hours of time and space. Jordan, where can the people find you?
Instagram, Twitter, jharris_6. Facebook, Jordan Harris. And this coming up Saturday in Jefferson, Georgia, getting some autographs.
You can find me at Connor Mason Chandler on Instagram, Connor_Chandler on Twitter, and Connor Chandler on Facebook. And same, June 3rd, is it?
June 3rd.
June 3rd, Jefferson County, hanging out with Sony Michelle, one of the Super Bowl winning, two-time
Super Bowl winning
for our Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Well, the first time was with the Patriots, but yeah.
No, I'm saying the last one was with our, we're just massive LA Rams fans now.
Absolutely.
So. Ball out. All right, guys, get ready. Strap in. 98 days away. God bless. Go Dogs. We'll see you soon, hopefully. And until next time, we're the Bass Brothers, signing off.
Yerp.